We very quickly ran through these six marks of living out the golden rule in our lives this morning. I'm going to take the time to walk through those a little more in depth this afternoon. Matthew 7:12, if you're able to let stand. Is anybody sleepy this afternoon? I know for a fact some of you had some Toro chips and salsa, and you're about to go in a coma from that, but I need you to stay with me this afternoon. Just think about it like this. If you were up here preaching, would you want people to go to sleep? Okay, don't answer that, honestly. So try to stay with me today. God's got some great things that if we can learn to apply by His grace and the power of His Spirit, will literally transform our lives and the people around us and have an impact that could bring them to faith in Christ and living in His kingdom too. So let's pray that God will bless our time in the Word right now, and then we'll read our text together. Brother Ryan, will you lead us in a word of prayer? Amen. While you're still standing, here it is. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Amen. Please be seated. So I walked through this list pretty quick earlier. I want to take a little bit of time to dig in a little bit more. Number one, it's personal. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. It begins with you, and it's not a selfishness, but it's just to think about how you would want to be treated. So make it personal, make it real. Have you ever had somebody say something really unkind to you and say, it's nothing personal? Yeah. But when you're talking to me about me, I can't help but take it personal. And so it doesn't really help if you say something that is personal and you say, well, it's nothing personal. I've had that happen in business. It's not that personal, it's just business. But I'm a person doing business, so it is personal. So just remember that every interaction we have is personal. It's you with another person, and so make it personal. When we're talking about the golden rule, one of the marks of this rule is that it is personal, and you want to make it personal. And Jesus says, at all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye to them also. So it is personal, and you make it personal. Think about how you want to be treated. Think about how you would want other people to respond to you. Think about how if you had done something wrong, you would want to be restored and think about how you would want to be treated. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in perception, but it is personal. It is personal. Number two, it is positive. It is positive. It is something that you do. Do ye even so. It's something that you do. Do ye even so to them. This moral, this teaching, this golden rule propels us into action. It's not just, I read you the Islam from the Hadith 13, the idea of just wishing somebody well. This isn't just sitting back wishing somebody well. Jesus calls us to do good. So as you would have somebody do to you, the action, the treatment that you would want somebody to give to you, you do that. So it's active. And it's a positive action. It's a good action. Richard Lloyd Jones said this, we do not do unto others as we would wish them to do unto us because the whole time we are thinking only about ourselves and we never transfer our thought to the other person. In other words, sometimes we have a hard time with this golden rule, but it's not because we have a hard time understanding it. We just have a hard time applying it. Amen. So sometimes it's easy for us to know to do the right thing. It's altogether different to do the right thing. And sometimes we're so busy thinking about ourselves, we never think about the other person. And so we need to do. It takes action. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but action takes effort. Amen. Effort takes energy. And energy for the Christian comes from the Spirit of God. Amen. He energizes us. He empowers us. He gives us strength. So this isn't something you have to muster up in yourself. This is something you pray about and God will give you the grace to do it. So it's personal, it's positive. Number three, it's proactive. I mentioned this earlier, but it bears repeating. This isn't waiting to see how somebody treats you and then deciding how you're going to react or respond. This is you go first. You go first. We love him because he moved first, right? And what has he called us to do? He's called us to love first. He's called us to go out of our way, to look for opportunities, and to love others actively. So this isn't waiting around or responding. And listen, that's easy, right? If somebody does something nice for you, don't you feel compelled to do something nice? Amen. Don't you ever feel compelled to reciprocate? Anybody? Amen. No? Yes? No? Okay. All right. Somebody. Okay. Somebody does something nice for you, you feel like you ought to do something nice for them. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about you just responding to someone else's kindness. We're talking about you being the initiator of the kindness. Amen. We're talking about you going out of your way to do something good for somebody. It's proactive, and you're not, and it doesn't matter how they respond. Listen to me. If you do good to somebody else and you're upset that they don't say thank you or that they don't tell other people how great you are, then your motives were wrong. Amen. Amen. The way you feel about their response is going to tell you about your heart. Because when your heart's right in it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether they acknowledge what you've done or give you thanks or anything at all. If you did it for the right motives, then you did it for the right motives, and it's done. But that tells us our heart, doesn't it? Doesn't it bother you when you do something nice for somebody and they don't even say thank you? Does it? Oh, man, some of you are killing me. No, I just always do what's right and don't really care about how they respond. Uh-huh. No, I mean, our hearts are hurt sometimes when we try to do a kindness for somebody and they don't say thank you or they're not appreciative. But I'm here to tell you that that's not our motive. Our motive is to do good. How many people has God done good to that never acknowledge him? Okay, how about this? How many times has God blessed you and you didn't tell him thank you? Right? So remember, he's still good even when you're ungrateful. He's still good. He's still good. And that's the way he wants us to. So be proactive in your love. Grace moves first. Grace moves first. And so we want to be proactive. Number four. I've even got the numbers on my paper. Number four, it's perceptive. To obey this verse, you must learn to think of yourself in another person's place. We used to say it like this, put yourself in somebody else's shoes. When I was a little kid and people would say that, I was super confused by that. Like, what do you mean put myself in their shoes? Like, their feet are way bigger than my feet. I don't understand. I had a very literal mind when I was a kid, and my mind's weird anyway, but what does it mean? We say things like that. You've never walked a mile in somebody else's shoes. What are we saying? We're saying that you haven't experienced their life. Amen. You don't know what their life is like. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know what their life was like growing up. You don't know what experiences they've had in the past day or hour or minute or year or 10 years. You don't know unless you know, right? And so the idea of being perceptive here, if I'm going to do unto others as I would have them do unto me, then I've got to think of myself in their situation. Everybody tracking? Okay, so I got to put myself in their shoes. I need you to hear me right now. Listen, we're always wanting other people to put themselves in our shoes. But this is not what Jesus calls us to do. He calls us to put ourselves in other people's shoes. There are a lot of people who get church hurt because of how the church didn't do this for them or whatever. I just want you to understand, this church ought to be here to love you, and we ought to love one another and all of that, but it's not about me. Amen. And here's the beautiful thing about it. When all of us live this Christian life, loving others, then everybody gets loved. When we live this Christian life doing good to others, then everybody has good done to them. Amen. But I'm focused on others, not myself. So you got to be perceptive. I got to think about other people. I got to put myself in their shoes. I got to think about how I would feel in their situation. I got to have some empathy. I got to imagine what it would be like if I was in their situation, and how would I want other people to treat me? What would be the good that God would want for me in that situation? And then go be that good. You guys with me still? Does that make sense? Okay, do me a favor. Find your Bible and just in your Bibles, in your Bibles. Let's not rely on the screen for this one. Find in your Bibles Philippians chapter 2. Turn your pages or scroll through your phone, whatever it takes. Philippians chapter 2. It's harder to fall asleep if you're turning pages. I mean, not impossible, but harder. Have you guys ever fallen asleep reading your Bible? Have you ever fallen asleep praying? It is a good way to fall asleep, Brother Philip. Have you ever fallen asleep during the preaching? Yeah, me too. Me too. There's a couple of times you guys thought I was just praying or something, just taking a long break. I was really just asleep up here. Just kidding. Yeah, falling asleep. I usually fall asleep praying, honestly. That's the way I typically fall asleep. It's not always a bad thing. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then he goes on to tell us about the great condescension of Christ our Savior, how he condescended, how he set aside, how he emptied himself, how he became one of us, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what's the point? Jesus laid down everything so that he could save us. And it's that compels us to stop thinking on our own things, but also to think on the things of others. So what does that mean? Well, it means I have to think about both, right? I have responsibilities as a husband and as a father, as a pastor, as just a man. I have responsibilities. So I do have to think on my things. I can't just not be responsible. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Right? You have to be responsible. But I can't only think about myself. I have to also think about the things of others. And what do? Well, I put myself in there. I need to have some perception to think about them. If I was in their situation, what would I need? If I was in their situation, what good thing would God want for me? And so we have to be perceptive. We have to think about it. And that leads us to number 5. It's pure. It's pure. It is not motivated by, I'm going to treat you good so you'll treat me good. It's not, I'm going to give to you so that I'll get something back. It is, I am going to do good because it is good. This is about fulfilling the moral law. This is the moral excellence of God's word. This fulfills the law and the prophets, right? It is loving others. It is loving others the way we love ourselves. That's what it is. And it's pure because of its motivation. I'm not thinking on my own things, but I'm thinking on the things of others. And it's motivated by the fact that I love you. Okay. Is it true that if you do good, then good things are going to happen to you? Not always. Generally speaking, if I give, I'm going to get back. God's going to give. It may not be like, it's not, I know you saw that guy on TV one time, and he was like, if you give 10, you'll get 100 back. It's not like that. But it is true that if you love and you do good, God's going to bless you. Amen. It is true that giving in itself is a blessing. Amen. So is it true that when you are generous and kind and loving and good, that good and kind and generous things are going to come back to you in some way or another? Yeah, I think that's part of the kingdom, the way it works, right? But that's not my motivation. I'm not motivated by the fact that if I do good, good's going to happen to me. Because I think Philip said it, not always, right? Sometimes you do good and everything falls apart. Sometimes you try to help people and it all blows up in your face. And if your motive was, I did good so that good would happen to me, then you're going to be disappointed. Right? So our motives need to be pure. It is a proverbial truth that when you do good, good's going to happen back, and God's going to do that. He's going to work it all out in the end, but it doesn't mean every moment's going to be great. Okay. All right. It's pure. Number 6, it's patterned. I mentioned it this morning, and I want you to look at it with me now. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Ephesians 5:2. We could throw this one on the screen. Brother Dave, if you don't mind. Ephesians 5:2. It is patterned after Christ himself. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So just walk through it. How should we walk? In love. Love for who? Well, love for God and love for others. That's it. In what way? How do we love? Well, the same way that Christ loved us. Amen. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to live my life loving others the way that Christ loved us. Well, how did he do that? Well, he gave himself for us. He gave himself. He sacrificed himself. So what do? Well, I'm going to go through this life. I'm going to love other people. Amen. I'm going to do it sacrificially. I'm going to do it unconditionally. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to live my life patterned after God. Jesus embodied the golden rule. Like, he is the golden rule personified. Right? He is. He treated us the way we desperately needed to be treated, not the way we deserved to be treated. He treated us the way we needed to be treated, not as we deserved, and not as we treated him. Jesus didn't treat me the way I treated him. He didn't treat me the way that I treated him. He treated me with love. He gave us not what we deserved, but what in his mercy he wanted for us, he desired for us. It is of his good pleasure, his will, his desire, his design. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. And it's of his good pleasure, his will, that we are saved. Salvation, forgiveness, adoption into his family was his desire for us. So how are we going to do this? Let me give you a few practicalities real quick. Number one, slow down. Stop and think before you speak or act. Slow down. Most of the trouble I've gotten into in my life is because I was in a hurry. I mean, the last speeding ticket I got is because I was in a hurry, right? It's been a long time ago, in case any of you are wondering. My kids will tell you about it if you want to hear. They love that story. I got to slow down. To slow down and think on the things of others, not on myself only. Slow down. Number two, pray. Pray before you do. So many times we do, and then we have to pray, Lord, forgive me. Right? But if we'll pray before we act, then we're going to be in better shape. Ask God to help us. Ask God to help us see somebody's need. You say, I don't know how they want to be treated. Well, ask God to help you, to have discernment in that. Ask God to help you. You can pray, Lord, you've been so much better to me than I ever could deserve. Help me to love other people the way you've loved me. Amen. I'm going to use this term, because I think imagination has a bad connotation to it, but we need to use a sanctified imagination, to think about other people, to put ourselves in their shoes. So I need to imagine myself, think about people and what they're going through and how I could help them. And not just people in the church or other saved people, but lost people too. Remember what it was like to be lost. Remember what it was like to be in their shoes, and think about that. If I was an unbeliever in that situation, how would I want a Christian to talk to me? How would I want a Christian to treat me? What would be the best way for them to get through to me? So think about those things, whether it's lost people or saved people. And then practice listening. If you want to know how other people want to be treated, a lot of times they'll tell you without telling you. So there are a lot of you people who have been married a long time, and sometimes you're like, I just can't figure. Well, just let me stereotype real quick. There are a lot of men in the world that are like, I can't understand my wife. Like, I just don't understand her. But a lot of that lack of understanding comes from a lack of listening. If you just listen, then even if she doesn't just directly say things, she's saying a lot of stuff, okay? The same thing goes in any relationship, whether it's siblings or coworkers or classmates. People are saying things if you'll just pay attention, if you'll listen. If you'll listen. Listening will help us. Sometimes your kids are having a hard time with things in their life. And I don't know about you, but I'm impatient with my kids sometimes, and I don't take the time to really listen. But I have to slow down. I have to listen. And I need to learn to listen to them the way my Father in heaven listens to me. Make sense? Amen. So we listen. I don't know. I hope those practicalities can help. I just know this. We cannot live out the golden rule without God's help. Amen. One man, H.B. Charles Jr., said this, that the golden rule is warfare against self. Living out the golden rule is warfare against self, because I always want to please myself, and it transfers that to somebody else. So I have to go to war against my own desires. And being born again is the only way we could ever keep it out, we could ever live it out. We don't want to be foolishly optimistic and think that we can do this on our own, because we're going to fail. On the other hand, we don't want to be hopeless and say, I can never do this, because we can with God's help. All right, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for the time and your word, and I pray that you'll help us to live out this what we call the golden rule. Lord, how you taught us to treat other people the way we would want to be treated. Help us to think about others, to put others above ourselves, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Help us to be men and women and boys and girls who live this out every day of our lives, at home and outside of our homes, in the church and outside of the church, that we could be a testimony of your great love and the grace that you have given to us. Forgive us and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we wrap it up for this afternoon, does anybody have any comments, questions?